Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances, where we understand that finances can be confusing. We believe, though, you don't have to face it alone, and you can have confidence for every financial decision. My name is Crystal Langdon, and I'm joined here by my co-host, George Amador III. Hi, G, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Crystal. You know, it's been an amazing series so far. I'm super excited because we have a lot more to cover. And today, I think, is my favorite episode of all five that we are doing because we are really getting into the core of what it means to establish your financial freedom, right? I think all the way back to the roundtable we did last week's episode that we did is really kind of defining, hey, financial freedom is different for everybody, but there are a few controlling features that matter to everyone. And that's really what we're all about here, is understanding what financial freedom is, going through education, application, and implementation, really the three core components. And today, I think a lot of it is education and application, right?
Yes.
We're really getting into what is the control cycle. Right? What does that mean?
Yes.
How does it work? And so I'm really excited for today.
Well, I love talking about finances and getting to understand how people really think about it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the questions we always ask when we're sitting down with a new prospective client is, when it comes to finances, the most important thing to me is, and then we let them fill in the blank, because we want to know what is driving them. Because in a way, G, we're finding out, what is financial freedom to you? What is it that's so important about that your money, that you're willing to put a plan in place, you're willing to educate, apply it to your personal situation, and implement, and we'll monitor it together. So it's, I love learning those inside parts. But today I want to talk about the control cycle. And a lot of people, I believe, don't realize that there is, well, maybe it's a better way to say it is, subconsciously, they've bought in and they think this is all there is. So let me give you an example. What I'm gonna do for those who are on the radio, I apologize, because I know you can't see this, but you can come over to our YouTube channel, because I'm going to go to my computer and I'm gonna talk a little bit about the zero line.
Yeah.
Because, gee, when we look at situations in life, people are connected to the zero line and they don't even know it. And I was connected to the zero line for the longest time. And I want to talk about how we broke that, how we were able to snip the cord and say, wait a minute, there's another option.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the beginning. Let's talk about the zero line. And you can see this on YouTube as we're talking about the fact that everyone starts at this place, at that level place where they don't have a lot of resources. They're not at the place where they have a lot of debt. They're just kind of breaking even there. We call it the zero line. And what happens is there are things that come up in life that they want, whether it's a new car, whether it's a home, whether who knows what it is, but there's an expense that goes up, that comes in, and what happens is they go into debt. They actually go below the zero line. And many people in America live below the zero line. They have money coming in, they have needs that they want, so they go into debt, they spend all that they have, and then go negative, go into debt to get those things. And then if you look at the slide, it talks about how they spend years just working their way. Now here's the key. Individuals who live below the zero line, they're not working to get above the zero line. They're just hoping they can get back to zero.
Yeah.
They're just hoping, oh, maybe I can just get this debt paid off and I can just be at least, I don't have to have anything in my savings. Let me just get the debt off my back. And they go through this cycle over and over. Now, here's the scary part, because we were talking about mindsets. Most people see this as an acceptable pattern, or let me change the word on that. It's not that they accept it. It's like they think they just have to. Like this is just what life is, that you have to live this way. And very a lot of times living paycheck to paycheck, just that's the cycle. Now, there's another way. So we call this person who goes below the zero line the spender. And so the other way is when individual finally comes to a place and they say, you know what? I don't care if I need something. I don't care if I need a new car or whatever it is. I'm not going below that zero line again. I've had it. I've reached my limit. I'm crossing that line. I'm going to become what's called a saver. And so what they do is they get the good old saving account. And we all know this, right? You put the money in, you put the money in, you're like feeling good about yourself. And then something happens and then it spins down and you're back at zero. And in fact, let me give that illustration right there. So we can see if you're on YouTube where individuals will save and save and save for years, mm-hmm. something comes up, you spend it and you get back down to that line.
Yeah.
I know this personally. So if you've ever been, well, you've been to my house once, and it's an old, old farmhouse. It's over 200 years old. I know, you're shaking your head. We bought it 28 years ago against our parents' wishes, and we said, oh, it's not a money pit. We can fix it up. I mean, how much money could it take? Hello. All right, so anyways, we bought this, and I remember saving for my kitchen. It took me 13 years. That's a one and a three next to it. All right, 13 years. And I started putting money, just like on this picture, into a savings account. And I built it up, it was a nice size savings account. Yeah. And then I began to write checks. Mm. I began to write checks for new cabinets. I began to write the checks for the countertop. I began to write checks for the flooring, everything that was needed. And before I knew it, 13 years of savings, and I was back down to the zero line. Mm. That was the defining moment in my life where I said, I seriously doubt that the wealthy individuals of this world are tied to the zero line.
Yeah.
Now, like him or hate him, Trump has money, mm-hmm. right? I seriously doubt that he lives at the zero line every time he buys something.
Yeah.
There has to be a way that individuals can save and spend and not go back to zero. Mm. And that's what started my search. And that's when I began to realize, there's a whole nother category that individuals don't even know about that can give them control in their finances.
Yeah.
So you think about this. You think about, well, I'm either a spender or I'm a saver, but the third area, and I'm gonna demonstrate it right here on the computer, the third area is the wealth creator.
Yeah.
Because a wealth creator literally has learned, how do I save money? And yet when I spend money, I'm going to leverage what I've saved, which I know half of our listeners just took a deep breath of, oh, she said leverage. Mm. What I'm saying is there are ways where we can make our money grow for us more than the interest we would have to pay someone else. There's ways we can use other people's monies. There's ways what you can use collateral capacity. And bottom line, to be a wealth creator, you must disconnect from the zero line. Mm-hmm. We can't live there.
Yeah.
And here's the sad part. Nobody's teaching them how to do it.
That's true.
And that's why it's so important that at our office we are, because now we can say, are you a spender? And this is what I'm asking my listeners right now. Are you a saver? Or have you learned to be a wealth creator? And what I like, if you're looking at this picture and we sit down with our clients and show mm-hmm. them, a wealth creator doesn't just one day say, oh, and now I have wealth.
Yeah.
It is a process. Mm-hmm. And I think in the process, people give up along the way because, like you said before, not having the tools and knowing how to personally apply it to them. So this zero line is across America. Most live below the zero line. Some live above it. They're savers. They empty out their savings account when emergencies happen. But I truly believe we can become wealth creators.
Absolutely. And I love exactly what you said. When I first got this and kind of understood the key here,
mm-hmm.
what's really important to understand in all of this is if you're a spender or a saver, which if you were to ask everybody in America, they would put themselves in one of those two
exactly.
categories. The solution to a spender or a saver is more money, right?
Right.
If I'm a spender, I need more money so I can pay it off faster.
Yes.
If I'm a saver, I need more money so I can accumulate my savings faster.
Mm-hmm.
The solution is more money. A wealth creator, the solution isn't more money.
Yeah.
The solution is to take control of my finances
mm-hmm.
because when I can actually see how much money I have and where it's going, I can create in my own life wealth with what I have. Every single person has the capacity to create wealth with what they have. They simply have to disconnect themselves from that zero line. And mentally, it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know it personally. Like, it's not something that happens
it's
overnight.
It's not natural.
No, it's not natural. Because again, we go back to last week. We've never been taught this strategy. We've never been taught the philosophy that you can actually create wealth with little. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know that's a biblical thing,
right?
But
right.
unfortunately, in the secular world, we don't ever talk about how if you're faithful with little, you can be faithful with much. That's not just I'll give you a little bit and I'll test you and then I'll give you a little bit more. It's a biblical principle that we can use to in our minds become wealth creators, because the solution to a wealth creator is I don't need more money to create wealth. I just have to separate myself.
Gee, that is so, that's gold right there. If people can just, you can, well, don't really turn off the radio, but right there, you got all your money's worth and then some, because if someone will let that get in their spirit and they will begin to understand, it literally is not about how much money we make.
Yeah.
It is the decisions we're making with the resources we have that will position us for great wealth.
Yeah.
And if we can understand that, then we can change our lives.
Yeah.
Think about how many people, have you heard the stories about the librarian and she was only made like $20,000 a year and yet she dies and she's a millionaire and people find all this money in their apartment. And I'm like, why isn't that my aunt? But that's a whole different story. You know, people hear those things and they think, oh, how did that happen? Because decisions we make, it's never about how much we make. It's what we're doing with
That's
it.
Right.
And then I think as we make those decisions, it brings more in. Then we keep growing from there.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that. And so that's why that zero line and getting past that thinking and disconnecting yourself, so critical.
Yeah, absolutely.
So critical.
And really, that's going to tie into the next piece, which is all about this control cycle, right? So when we first understand that there is a place we can go outside of the zero line. That there is a strategy for savings, there is investments that we can have so we can build financial freedom. The other component to this, though, is where are we in this control cycle,
oh,
right?
Oh, I love it.
And that's really what I think helps break the idea that there's, yes, George, I know I have heard this all the time because I do this with people. That I sit down and show them the zero line and they go, yes, I want to be a wealth creator. I do. I get it.
Right.
George. It makes sense. I'm bought in. But how do I do it? How do I do it? We have to take one more step before we jump into, hey, do this, do that, and really understand the control cycle of money, which I know you're excited to share.
Oh,
about.
Beyond excited. Because, gee, the thing is that I wish people could have met me like 30 years ago and they could see that my kids were little. They could see all the tears. They could see the frustration. I was a good person and yet bad things were happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you have a business where you do the right thing and you're ethical and then your largest client goes bankrupt and leaves you in a spiral financially? I mean, I had a high school education, three little ones. My goal in life was I was going to raise a family and bake cookies. And now look at my hair. So I remember being in that position, I felt so helpless. But I remember, G, that I began exactly what we teach. I began to educate myself. And because the professionals wouldn't touch me because I didn't have enough money, look who's sorry now, but whatever. So now I look at it and I say, if only they had talked to me. But I found books and it pushed me. And as I began to read books, I began to understand how this all works.
Yeah.
So let's think about one of the books that was life-changing for me was the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. Because the way that they began to understand how money works changed my thinking. See, I believe the way that we're taught how money works is that you grow up and you get a job. You use your job, and it's going to create income for you, and you use the income, and you be responsible, and you pay your bills. And for most people, they will live their life that way.
That's
I got
it.
A job. I'm being responsible. I'm paying my bills. I don't get any extra, but this is what life is. And that's not true. Life is so much more, but for them, life is true that way. Then what happens is people say, I'm not satisfied. I want more in life. I want more resources. I want to be able to give more. I want to put my kids through college, whatever the desire is. So then they say, well, if I want a better job, then I'm going to go to college, get $100,000 of debt. I'm going to go to college and then I can get a better job. But this is what happens, G. Now you have a better job that gives you more income, that you pay your bills, and now you have leftover money. You have surplus. And what happens is most people use that and they buy liabilities. Now, you're thinking, I know our listeners are. They're saying, no, not me. I didn't grow up, go to college, and buy liabilities. So what is a liability? One of the I want you to explain it, but one of the simplest ways I've learned about it is liabilities are something that eats you. And assets are something that are going to feed you. And what happens is people grow up, they get a better job, they go to college, they get income coming in, pay their bills, and buy a snowmobile because that's an asset, they think. But does a snowmobile feed you and create you income, or does it eat your surplus income?
Yeah, no, it's really good. I'll give a personal example. I got a great paying job out of college and single guy, kind of, you know, still sort of kind of living at home is a weird situation. And I basically said, okay, I have surplus. I don't have a lot of bills. And so I went and bought a motorcycle. I'm like, there you go. Hey, this is an asset. I'll have it forever.
Oh,
I can sell it when I need to and have all this money. But at the end of the day, what I did was I took money that I could have put in the market, that I could have saved, that I could have put as an asset to feed me, and rather spent that money on something else. And now I look at that and say, as great as a motorcycle is in my 22-year-old life at the time, what could I have done with that money that really could have separated me from the zero line, that could have bought myself an asset that puts myself ahead? And I'm not saying that we all have to sit here and sacrifice our life and never buy anything that we like. That is not the case at all.
Correct.
I live a blessed life and I love the way that I live. It but comes back to, we have to make that conscious decision. Again, who's in control? We can have control of our finances, but oftentimes we look at the surplus and then we use it on something, don't realize how much that something will really control us.
And I love how you just said that, how much that something will control us, because that's exactly what happens. Is we can have liabilities,
sure,
but we have to do it in the right order.
Yeah.
I mean, I had horses for my kids, all different things that happen, and we had to figure out, all right, how do we take the income that's coming in and buy the assets? Because this is what it really should look like. You grow up and you get a job. Now, if you want a better paying job, then a lot of times people will go to college and get a better paying job. The money comes in your household. You be a responsible American and you pay your bills. With the leftover money, in the beginning, you take that and you buy assets.
Yes.
Now, assets, yes, they can be something in the market. Assets could be an apartment building. Assets are anything that would create revenue for you. So my daughter, when I had finally, we got back on our feet and everything that was going on, we bought her a horse. We did horseback riding lessons that paid enough money for the horse's food, the horse's vet bills, everything, and had surplus so that we were able to take a hobby that she had and make it to use money for us. So when we're looking at things, what are we going to do? We're going to work the job that creates the income, that buys the assets, because here's the ultimate goal. We want to get enough assets so that we don't need the job. Do you think, gee, and this is, I know we didn't talk about it in advance, so this is just like a moose trail I want to go down. Do you think that we were meant to have the jobs we were in for the rest of our lives? Or is it possible that the job really was just a training ground for us to learn the principles of work ethic and being on time and all the different components, the principles of how money worked? We were supposed to use that period in our life to buy assets so that the day came when we no longer needed the job, because the assets, the apartment building, whether it was in, you know, different areas, brought enough money in that the job wasn't needed, and then we could go do the next step in God's calling in our life.
It's really good.
I always think, why are we trapped in so many different jobs that we're not even supposed to be there? Or maybe we're supposed to be there for a season and we've bought into the line that we're supposed to live there until we're 65 or 67, we're tired and have nothing left to give, and then we retire and try to recover. Maybe we've stretched our learning period of what that is for too long.
Yeah.
When I read that Robert Kiyosaki book of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I began to understand that the purpose of a job is strictly to pay the bills and buy the assets so that you could go to the next step of freedom. Imagine, just imagine from, what if we had the freedom that when you wanted to go on mission trips, you didn't have to write a letter and ask everybody for money because your assets generated it?
Yeah.
What if you wanted to go to Africa? What if you wanted to have a music career? You work a job that creates an income, you buy the assets, and then that begins to fund the next step of the destiny that's for you. I'm just asking.
So good.
But it all goes back to what? Controlling this. But we have been taught as a society, you grow up, get a job, work the job till 67, and then you die, and you don't have any extra resources.
Yeah.
And that, I believe, is such a lie. There is so much more. And when I began to see that jobs are really just training grounds that can launch you into the next step if you'll control your money, whole new ball game. Definitely. All right, I'll stop preaching. Go ahead.
No, it's really, really good. I think we do have to take a break in here somewhere. But
oh, goodness, yes, we better.
Yeah, so let's go do a break in a second. But before we do that again, it's about control, right? Mm. It's about understanding that you control the cycle. The cycle doesn't have to control you, and that's so good. So we're going to take a break and be back with more Crystal Clear Finances.
You say tomato and I say tomato, yet they both mean the same thing. This is Crystal Langdon with today's financial gem. When you hear the words financial freedom, what comes to mind? For some, it's having the resources needed to live and give without concern of running out of money. For others, it's the ability to leave a job that they don't enjoy, to accept a position with lower pay but higher satisfaction. Regardless of your definition, we all have a form of financial freedom we want to enjoy. The key is defining what financial freedom means to you, then taking the first steps in gaining control over your finances by understanding how money works and how to apply it to your financial situation. Call Crystal Clear Finances today at 518-433-7181 and gain confidence for every financial decision.
And we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. My name is George Amador. We're flipping the script a little
there
bit here,
go.
Crystal. We're joined, as always, by the one, the only, Crystal Langdon, CEO of Crystal Clear Finances. But it's such an amazing time, Crystal. I think this conversation has been so good. And again, I love that this is the topic we're talking about because, again, when we understand the control cycle,
yes,
what it means when your money controls you versus you control your money, we can break the mold and really step into what God has called us to. And I think it's really, really important. You know, we go back to even when we look at the specific cycles that we have and the financial plans that we have, one of the things that I want to touch on is really understanding what a financial plan for a person really looks like, right? And, and kind of understanding a little bit of, okay, we have this 3-2-1 approach. We have this savings investment protection plan that we talk about with our clients all the time. And really why I want to bring this up is because this is one way where we can understand how we control the cycle, right?
Yes.
We go through, every financial plan has different components. Your investments is a part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Your savings is a part of the plan. Your debt is a part of the plan. Your income is a part. So when you look specifically, too often in life, we look at one area of our finances and we say that this is the plan I'm on.
Yes.
George, I have a mortgage. I have to pay this off. That's the plan I'm on. I have a wedding I need to pay for. That's the plan I'm on. When we really have to take a step back and look at it, a holistic approach to say, listen, here is my financial plan for life.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be through a place of, I'm at this job for a season. You know, I remember I was working up in Silicon Valley in California, my old job. And all the time, I used to talk to these 28, 30-year-olds making really good money for really, really good companies.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I found so crazy was they would say to me all the time, I'm only going to be here for the next 5 or 6 years. And I would sit there and say, how do you only want to work at the best company in the world for 5 years? Like, stay for a long time. You got great benefits. You got good retirement. Because of what you said before the break, when we talk specifically about this control cycle, they understand that, listen, this job, as amazing as it is, as amazing as the benefits are and all the things I can do, is a means to an end for me. This is, I'm going to go be a humanitarian. I want to go start a not-for-profit. I want to go do something in the world. Well, that's understanding that the financial plan is so much broader than one little area. So when we set up savings, investment, protection, that's really what we're doing. We're getting to a place where we can have all of the pieces.
Well, and I think when we sit down with our clients, that's why we're always saying, hey, where are you going 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Tell me about what you feel called to do. What are the things that you enjoy to do? Because we're trying to get the whole picture of it. And it all, I love what you said, it goes back to that control. There are steps we can begin doing. You know, there are people, I remember one client in particular, when I had asked that question, they said, and it was so sad, they said, why does it matter?
Mm.
And I said, well, what do you mean, why does it matter? They said, I don't see how I'd ever get there.
Mm.
And you know, gee, just for a second, let's just settle in that for a moment, because I think there are a lot of people that are listening, even right now, that are like, that sounds great what you and G are talking about, but that doesn't apply to my life because I'm stuck where I'm at. If only you knew my position. Literally, it has been thousands. I mean, I just think of last year alone, I stood up in front of 1,200 different financial planners. So I can say thousands of people that we have coached and we have counseled. I have seen so much. I have yet to see a place where I've said, there is absolutely nothing you can do. Call it a day.
Yeah.
Because even if it was just reading the book and beginning the process to change their mindset, there are steps we can take. And I believe what happens is we begin taking that step, taking the control in the areas we can get to the end result.
Yeah.
But what I want to do is, speaking of control, I want to show some steps that we can take. You know how we talk about the importance of doing savings and investments and protection, our 3-2-1 plan. Mm-hmm. When we talk about that, there are steps we can take just when it comes to savings and being efficient in it. So again, I apologize to all my radio listeners right now. I'll talk you through it. But our YouTube followers, they're able to see this on the screen. And what I'm showing is, let's just pretend that an individual, and I'm just going to use round numbers, so don't panic. You might make more, you might make less, but I'm just saying that there's $100,000. And let's say that you were able to do a Roth and you were putting $6,000 away. And I'm going to say that you were getting 5% interest and you're so excited and you see that after that full year, you made $300. Yay. And this is where we usually have people that come and say, can you get me 6%? Can you get me 7%? I need more than this. Mm-hmm. And that's where that focus goes on that, which we really can't control the market.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it be better, just part of the equation, not all of it, but part of the equation, to say, what are the things that I can do personally that I can take control of? And I wanted to make sure we gave at least something today that they can put in effect. If you were, say, made $100,000 and you invested 6% and you were getting a 5% return on it, that means you have $94,000 left, right? Mm-hmm. What if out of that, instead of trying to get a better rate of return and make more risk, what if we just decided we were just going to be more efficient by 1%, save 1% of that $94,000? Well, that would be $940 just for my listeners who can't see this on the screen. That means it's over a 15% return.
Yeah.
So I can either go gamble in the market and hope that all the things are over there, which I can't control everything, or I can take the steps I know to take and say, huh, well, I'm putting $6,000 over here in this yellow bucket. What can I do in the green bucket?
Yeah.
And I know we have so many examples, and I know we're running out of time again. But, gee, these are so important that we understand there are practical steps. People can walk away from today's program and say, I need to start reading a book.
Yeah.
I need to have the IQ to understand how business works, how money works. I need to have the spiritual quotient that says, hey, it's okay, you can have money. And the emotional quotient that says, you know what, I can hold the course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times people see emotional intelligence and they think, oh, that's just how you feel. But it's also, emotional intelligence means you have stamina.
Yeah.
You can keep pushing forward. So we're going to have to bring this to a close. I know we've got about a minute left, but G, I'm going to pass it over to you. Any last words that you have before we close today?
You know, I think at the end of the day, again, the control cycle is something we often overlook when it comes to our money, but it is so crucial, and we are all in some sort of financial plan. And so really, I think, to me, it's, hey, take a moment, take a step back, look at your situation, give us a call, and even just ask the question, hey, where am I at? Where am I at in this cycle? How can I break this? What are the things I can do right now? You know, that's the first step to a financial plan, is really just sitting down, questioning where you're at, giving us a call and saying, hey, we need to make a change. Let's make a change. Or, hey, am I on the right course? Because I think I'm doing the right thing. You might be, you might not be. That's what a conversation's all about.
Absolutely. So I'm going to give you, encourage our listeners to call us at 518-433-7181. 518-433-7181. Let's schedule a conversation and then join us again next week as we continue to provide clarity so that you can have confidence for every financial decision. Thank you and God bless. This program is for educational purposes only. We understand that finances are complex. Facing them alone causes stress, resulting in wrong choices, missing out on opportunities, and having to settle for a lower standard of living. At Crystal Clear Finances, our team approach focuses on providing clarity and confidence so you can make the right financial decisions.
Investment advisory services offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, and Crystal Clear Finances are separate entities.